Welcome to Small Bites Radio with Donato Marino and Derek Tim. We hope you're hungry.
Raw spaghetti you can eat with a spoon.
Hit it.
Where's the beef?
Cookie.
He likes it.
No soup for you. No soup for you. No soup for you.
Feed me more.
As long as I can have you here with me, I'd much rather be forever in blue jeans, babe.
Welcome back. We're back to Wildfire Radio, Small Bites. I'm Donato Marino, DNL Coffee to Barista Service. What a wild one we've been having.
Did I miss something, Don?
Unless you live under a rock, I think you missed a lot of stuff happening the last 4 or 5 months.
Well, let's put it this way. Who would have ever thought that I would have been the masked man in studio? I sort of feel like a Marvel superhero. I am literally the masked man.
You are. You're almost like the Lone Ranger, except with a mask over your face.
I think everybody's been the Lone Ranger lately for the last 6 months. But it's good to be back in studio, masked or not. We're all here socially distanced for everyone's health and well-being. Biggest change, we will not be having any in-studio guests for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, I'm going to miss all that food.
I will definitely miss all that food. And I know Taylor, I don't know if Taylor's mic is live or not. I know he will certainly miss it. That was probably the highlight of doing our show, because Lord knows I'm not the most pleasurable person to deal with.
He works for food.
I've had plenty of experience. Trust me, you're not up there.
That is usually a highlight. I mean, we've come in studio, Don, some nights having a spread that not only filled the table or the entire studio. We've had guests also have food in the waiting area as well because they brought so much.
And it was 5-star tastings of the food.
I actually feel like Howard Stern in a way. I don't know if you're a fan of his or if you listen
to him.
Taylor, do you still listen to him at all? No, you don't have your mic.
It's been a very long time.
He has said the struggles on air lately because he is actually broadcasting from his house. And he said the reason why it was great for him to be famous was he had people who brought him tea and coffee and things to eat and handled everything and snacks.
Yeah.
And now he has to do it all on his own. And he's very angry about that. He says, what's the point of being famous if I have to do all of the work myself?
And he's probably not a very good cook.
No, I wouldn't imagine so. And not to say that we're famous in the least, like the list of show correspondents and people that we have work for us. And that's really what Small Bites is really about, Don. It's a small bite of this and that and getting back to the roots of the hospitality industry, which has suffered greatly.
It's been devastated. It really has been devastated. I mean, I don't know how some people are even able to stay open during this pandemic.
And many people have not been able to.
My heart goes out to them. It really does.
I mean, but as we mentioned, the heart and soul of Small Bites is the people who work with us and is our team. And we are really grateful and thankful for them. And one of our team members is Chef Barbie Marshall, who was named Pennsylvania's most influential chef by Cooking Light magazine. And she's been on many seasons of Hell's Kitchen. And yes. I don't know technically if Hell's Kitchen is still on air right now, but they were re-airing the All-Star season.
I just saw her last week.
Just saw her last week. See that? Chef Barbie Marshall, we've got her online. It's been quite some time. How are things going for you, Chef Barbie?
Things are going pretty good, you guys.
Hey, Chef.
Actually, hey, how are you guys?
We are doing the as best as we can. We're staying healthy and safe and hoping that you and your family and friends are doing the same.
Definitely are. I definitely am. It is a little bit more difficult when you're a chef without a home-based restaurant, and you usually go into people's homes and cook for them, which doesn't happen right now. So I've been doing a lot of consulting work and just looking at updating systems for restaurants that are open during a pandemic, because it is hard to just be in the house, and, you know, people do want to go out. So you have to think about, all right, if people are going to go out and they're going to be safe about it, how can the restaurant contribute to making sure that everyone is actually social distancing? So I've been going in and helping people with those policies and just making sure that the staff is trained and updated.
What have you found to be the most difficult transition or point that you're trying to drill into the person that you're consulting for that maybe the employees aren't all on board? Has it been mask wearing? Has it been making sure that they're socially distanced? What have you found to be the largest obstacle in the restaurant industry for you right now?
The largest obstacle for what I was finding was sometimes just a general not understanding of social distancing. Like, you know, sliding between there aren't really that many rules and what can be done and what should be done. So here's what I think that we should tell our listeners, because most of our listeners, let's face it, they're going to go out and eat. If you walk into a restaurant and the staff isn't wearing their mask, walk out.
I would agree.
Like, yeah. That first of all, if they're not wearing their mask over their nose, if they're not wearing their mask at all,
if they're going to do that in public, Lord knows what they're going to do behind closed doors.
Exactly. So that's number one. Like, and then if you go into a restaurant and the people there, if the bar is full, walk out, because there should be no full bars anywhere at this point, anywhere. Social distancing still does have to take place in bars too. If indoor seating is allowed, and I have been in some places where indoor seating is still allowed and even outdoor seating, but still that social distancing and being mindful of asking a person of, you know, can you give me some space?
Sometimes that's a difficult thing. I mean, it's personal space for me personally was an issue before the pandemic, but yeah. I would say at least it's given me a reason to actually voice it out.
Stand back a little bit. Stand back a little bit.
Because sometimes I felt like a jerk when I'd be like, oh, you're a little into my personal space. But now I have to say one of the things that I do enjoy about the pandemic is sort of like, you're a little close. You're a little close.
Right. So, I mean, a lot of people already knew that I wasn't a hugger and I enjoyed my personal space very much. And so personal space to me pre-pandemic was arm's length. And so since I'm pretty tall, arm's length is probably about 2.5 feet, which means that two of my arm's length, almost three, is what you should be away from me. And so if you're arm's length away from me, that's when self-advocating really has to come into play. And, you know, we have to face it at this point, self-advocating really has to come into play. You have to be mindful of, you know, wherever places you're going. If you go through the drive-thru and nobody in the restaurant is wearing a mask, you probably shouldn't eat that.
Mm-hmm.
Probably shouldn't eat that. You know, who are they? Do you know them? Do you know what they're going home to? Are they going home to, you know, a 200 person block party? Because we've seen the news. We've seen that happen. So,
yeah, it's a hard decision to make. And whatever side of the fence that you fall on politically, it doesn't really interest me, because I find it hard to believe that either side of the fence that you're on, that it would reach globally, because in my opinion, whether you're on the left or you're on the right or whatever you want to call it in America, guess what? There's a lot of different political affiliations all over the world, socialists, communists, whatever you want to call them. this is something that the whole world has dealt with. So it's something that the whole world is undertaking. So I think it's our civic duty and humanity's responsibility to make sure that we're all looking out for each other.
Amen to that.
Absolutely. But I mean, there's also numbers and they're not lying. We lead. We're leading in cases, and it's because we're just not doing things right.
I agree to a point as well. Now, I will try to ask this question to every guest tonight, but usually when I say I'll try to do something, very rarely does it actually happen. So, but you're the first guest, so I'm actually going to remember to do this. Through all of this, there's been ups and downs for many people all around the world. For you personally, what has been a highlight during the pandemic, and what has been a low light during the pandemic?
So, low light. Can we start with the low? Because we're getting on high.
Yeah.
All right. So low, we all know that I like to travel. We all very, 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 very much know that I love to travel, because traveling for me is eating. So I have had to 100% limit my travel because my passport is just no good anywhere. So that's very low, low, low light for me.
And I can feel I can definitely feel that too. me and Don personally, because we were supposed to spend the month of July searching June, July, going through the Amazon rainforest. did not happen. Plus many other places. Brazil. I'm not even going to get. That's a personal low light of mine as well. Yeah. So I feel that pain. What would be your highlight?
So the highlight has been that I bought a timeshare yesterday because my passport's no good, and I have a car.
Congratulations.
So, it was very unexpected for me to get this timeshare, which has spaces all over the world that
wasn't unexpected to the salesman who saw you.
it was a family decision. But basically what we realized was that if we were only going to be able to be in our country, and I've traveled quite a bit around the country, but there were still some places that I wanted to see. I was in Savannah this week. But to have a timeshare here that in the States that, you know, once the world opens back up, I can use all in a bunch of other places. Right now, I can just focus my little travels in my car or however I'm getting there.
Exactly.
And just use my timeshare space. So that's a recent highlight.
That's great.
I have incorporated travel back into, and that there are places that are 100% taking social distance measures. Like I said, I was in Savannah last week since the Sunday, and I got to go to Savannah Market, and everyone there was wearing masks and social distancing. And I'll post up a great picture of the praline shop, the candy factory that I went to, that actually had, like, if you wanted a sample, he had a paddle that he stretched out to you.
Nice.
To bring you a sample. So the things may be shut down, but there are some things that are still very much open, and there are some options that we very much have to travel and travel safely.
Yes.
It's just more like, you know, the 50s when the family had to get in the car and go.
But thankfully, we have cell phones that have video capabilities, unlike the 50s. Yeah. Those family car trips were long without YouTube.
Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet?
But
the radio still works.
Exactly, exactly. But Chef Barbie, it's always such a pleasure to speak with you, even more so now than ever. I know Don agrees. It's been a long time, and whether you want to call this the new normal, I'm not comfortable with that term because I want the old normal back. But
I think everybody liked to have the new normal back.
It's at least refreshing and great and wonderful all at the same time to get back into the swing of things and hear that you're well and doing things and getting out there and traveling again, as you mentioned, as one of your highlights. Yeah. And we look forward to hearing from you as many times as possible. I know that your schedule's busy, so we're going to fit you in when you can. And I know our Small Bites audience will be happy when you do join us.
All right, I'll talk to you guys soon. In the meantime, Hell's Kitchen is re-airing All Stars on Tuesday nights on Fox.
Awesome, yeah.
And it also airs, it's streaming, I think, for free on Fox. So if you want to see me, you have to watch all the previous episodes from before last week. And then, you know, spoiler, I'll be back.
I'll be back. Wonderful. Always looking forward to it.
Pleasure, Barbie.
Have a great
Chef night. Barbie.
All right.
Talk to you, Chef Barbie.
Bye. Bye-bye.
I mean, it's a difficult time, but I'm glad to hear that Chef Barbie
I'm glad she's doing good.
Is taking turning it into lemonade, as they say.
Yeah, you have to adapt to the new, the statement we don't like to hear, but you have to adapt to it now and do what brings you forward, makes you happy. Yeah. I mean, it's depressing times, but you got to look for that rainbow, whatever you want to call it at the end of the...
Do you know what is the gold at the end of the rainbow?
No. Is that a trick question?
It's whenever I get to talk to my favorite man, author John Howard Fusco. How's it going tonight, John?
Hey, guys. Good to hear you. How are you guys doing?
Oh, man. Hal, I've missed that voice.
Yeah, John, good to hear you.
I've literally been out of the loop for 6 months of anything news related since I don't talk to John.
No, absolutely nothing has happened in the last 6 months.
It's all just been an illusion. It's really like the Matrix.
Yeah.
The Truman Show.
Yeah, right.
But John, it's wonderful to hear from you. As I said before, Chef Barbie came on. Really, Small Bites, we couldn't do what we do, me and Don, the show Small Bites itself, without all of you. And that's what this show is about. It's about all the cogs of the wheel that make Small Bites go. And you certainly, sir, are one of the most important cogs, as every week that we talk to you, you're giving us insights and knowledge and news tips and things that are going on around the area that I know many times I haven't even heard of, and many others didn't even know what was happening. So for that, I thank you. But through all of that, what's been going on with you? How have you been holding up?
Well, the good news is that both myself and my wife, first of all, both have still been working from home. It's been a blessing, because not everybody can say that through all this time. But what that has allowed us to do is to be able to go out and maybe not so much be writers and announcers and, influencers of food, but to be more consumers of food. We made a conscious effort that we're just going to go out and we're going to do more takeout. When outdoor dining started, to do some more outdoor dining, to be supporters of the restaurant industry by literally trying to put cash in their pockets. And so we've done a lot of that locally around here where I live in Ocean County, and also along the shore, and also further into South Jersey. That's what we've been doing. It's great to hear the appreciation of the restaurant owners saying, thank you so much for your business. I even appreciate when we try to call for takeout and the line is busy, knowing that other people are calling and they're doing, they're doing good business. So that's really what we've been doing a lot of, just being consumers and, helping out the industry as much as we can by, with our dollars. So that's been our main focus food-wise during this time.
That's good. That's good. And as I said, I'm actually going to be 2 for 2, Don. I said on a mission this show, I'm going to be 2 for 2. I have a question, as I mentioned, to Chef Barbie, that I'm going to try to ask every guest, all of our correspondents this show, because I'm interested just to hear what's been going on with you personally and how it affects everyone individually. During all of this, since it's happened, what has been a highlight for you and what has been a low light?
Highlight and a low light. That's a hard one to say. A low light has been trying our best to keep the kids occupied. that has been a challenge.
That must be an extreme challenge for it to be the Lola.
Yeah. I mean,
or maybe my life has just turned terrible because I've got a lot of other things that I could name as Lola.
I mean, to be honest, my regular 9-to-5 gig has kept me very busy. So a good chunk of my week is involved with work. So.
Would you call that a highlight? to be serious, though, because you've stated that it's kept you that busy that you've been able to keep your mind off of things and you've been able to focus on. In all seriousness, mental illness is an issue. Depression is an issue. People that have extreme idle time are struggle. There's many people who are struggling mightily during this.
Oh, yeah.
So even though it sounds like a joke that you're steady 9-to-5 is keeping you busy.
It's the uncertainty.
In an odd way, I'm not trying to make your highlights and lowlights, but would you call that a highlight?
I don't know if I would call it a highlight. I would say it is a gratitude to be able to be working during this time. It certainly has helped things. I will say one scary moment during all of this was I did have members of my not immediate family, but I did have an aunt and uncle and a few cousins who did contract a disease and spent some time in the hospital. Thankfully, they've all recovered.
Well, we're happy to hear that.
But that was for a brief time. That was a pretty scary moment, and is what really brings it home, and the importance of all things that we're doing to try to keep everyone else safe, wearing a mask.
All right, so we're going to drill into you of what is the highlight. Then you're not going to get away with it.
I have to really give that some thought. I think the highlights have really been when we've been able to go out and spend time as a family, and just having appreciation for being together. I think those are definitely highlights.
That's great.
You appreciate them a lot more now.
Yes,
I would say.
Yes, yeah. And I know with what you've done for us, I'm sure that you're still busy scouring the internet and newspapers and magazines and so forth, because I know that you're always seeking knowledge. And sometimes I know for me, one of the difficult things has been during this of seeing many establishments that I care dearly for announcing closures or indefinite hiatuses. To me, it makes it difficult because I know that whether things turn around tomorrow, we could announce and say, we've got a vaccine and you can start getting it tomorrow. It's not going to change what's happened to many individuals and many businesses, unfortunately.
Sure. No, that is true. And the reality is that there's throughout all this, there's not a good choice. There's not the choice of protecting ourselves and wearing masks and social distancing and not indoor dining is a terrible decision, and the fact that it really adversely affects the restaurant industry. At the same time, by not doing those things and ignoring those things, you put more people at risk. So there's not a good choice here. And either way you go, there's not a good choice. Someone is going to suffer in some way.
Yes.
So what do you do? And unfortunately, for the restaurant industry right now, it's really, really difficult. And it is very sad, and it's heartbreaking. Some of these places that have closed, and they're not coming back, and they've been in business a long time. So that is very sad.
There's no easy answers.
No, there is not.
No, there's not.
And whatever direction we go, it's going to be a long road ahead for many individuals. But I have to say that it does make me feel good that both of our first two guests are wonderful correspondents.
Yes.
That them and their immediate families have been healthy and safe.
All doing well.
All doing well. It's great to hear from you guys. Love talking to you. And only great things, hopefully, moving forward. And I hope that every show that we have, we can bring better and more good news. And I'm hoping that this isn't something that we come on every week and say, oh, this happened and It's such a shame. I hope that every time that we're on air, that it's going to become more positive. And that's my wish moving forward with Small Bites and having a little ray of some people be able to listen to us. I know as insignificant as it may seem, some people do enjoy the show, Don. I know. And they were happy that we were returning. It took a little prying to get me out the door, but we've done it, and I couldn't be more excited to hear from you, John. And we want to wish you nothing but success. And if you want to share anything that you want to say before you head out, please do.
Oh, absolutely. So you can still follow me on Twitter at Eating in East Jersey. I have been doing a lot of food writing lately. I'm hoping to, in the near future, get more food writing going again. You can also follow me. I've been doing another little side passion of mine is soccer. It's a little sports thing that I've been doing called Protagonist Soccer. I've been doing a little writing there and a little podcasting there. So just check Protagonist Soccer. You'll find me. But again, we'll try to get back to more food stuff. I think it's time to get back into that and to celebrate the good stories and also talk about the not so good stories as well and try to have some sort of balance on that.
Awesome, awesome. Well, great talking to you, John. Have a good night.
Nice talking to you, John.
Take care.
Take care, John.
Yeah, I mean, that's the one part, Don. I mean, as you know, you are in the hospitality industry.
The hardest part of the hospitality industry is, I've known people for 20-something years that I've been doing business with, and they're like family. I've seen their kids grow up, go to school. I've been to some of their weddings. And then for them to call me and say, Donato, I got no choice. We got to close the door. You're like a piece of your heart just falls apart. It's like your brother and your sister, or your parents.
Yeah. I mean, and the odd thing is as John was mentioning, that a couple doors have closed. So now he's opening a couple new doors and dabbling his feet into the soccer thing and another podcast. And that's what I enjoy about our next guest. And she's our vegan expert, our go-to individual for anything plant-based, Chef Christina Martin, is she has gone and started her own program as well and said, you know what? Now is the time to break out. She wants more people to be aware of plant-based eating, even though she's always welcome on our program, and many people have complimented what she has discussed on our program.
Very knowledgeable vegan guests on for us.
It's something that she's passionate about, and this was the time for her to go out and actually pursue that. So, Chef Christina Martin, it's great to have you on with us. Why don't you tell us what you've been out and about doing since this started and the program that you're out doing.
Hi, everyone. I miss you guys, and I'm not leaving Small Bites. I love you guys.
Yeah, love you too, Christina. Chef.
Thanks. But a friend of mine from Texas who is a master sommelier, he's and also vegan. Him and I have always done food chats on Twitter for a long time, other people's food chats. And we decided it was time to have a plant-based one to get people more aware of eating more vegetables. Not going full vegan, but just adding more vegetables to their diet and what it can do to you, you know, in the long term. So we started about 5 weeks ago. It's building. We have a little bit of time zone issue because some of our listeners are in UK and we got to work out the time thing. So there's a big vegan population in UK and also in California. So we're trying to work out time zone. We might have to bring it to Facebook and we're working on that. So we'll see. But today I was on Chef AJ's program, which was on YouTube and Facebook.
We love Chef AJ. She's great.
Yeah,
she was on. She was one of our guests. And so I was on her program and she's already invited me back. I'm going to do a vegan dessert next time. But me and my little rescue pup. So 2 weeks ago, I got a rescue pup. Well, he's 8 years old, and so him and I were on YouTube today. He made his debut.
Awesome!
Nice.
Because he doesn't leave my side, so you'll see his picture up on my page. But so it was really fun to do that, and you know, because I couldn't do cooking classes over the summer, you know, I've tried to do a few on Zoom. It's not the same. You can't get that community of being there, but at least you can still give some education. And I really like them in person.
And you're sort of in the same boat as Chef Barbie is as well, that when we were talking to her is, as you just said, it's the restaurant industry has always been communal. It's always that it's you're breaking bread with someone. That's practically right. The bottom line. You're sitting there, you're sharing your feelings, your emotions, and the meal. It's something that everyone has to have, regardless of race, religion, anything. Everybody has to eat. That's the bottom line. And
right.
it has to be heartbreaking in a way to not have that. But like you said, what can you do currently? And Zoom is what you're trying to do. But do you think that there could be something, who knows? I don't know if it's outdoors. I just don't know what the answers are, that something communal to happen. I mean, or is it just that we can't do these sort of things until it slowed down, like the dinner en blanc and then these sort of things? That's outdoors,
really,
but
sad.
That would just be impossible to do right now.
Yeah, they canceled that. And then, I mean, we got to get the restaurants up and running. I mean, that's number one before we start losing even more. I mean, next week I'm on, I'm going to be on Waiter Nation next week, which is Michael Fagan. He's Atlantic City. He's been in Atlantic City server for probably 30 years. And he has his own program called Waiter Nation. And I'm going to be on that, talking about that, also about the schools. Like, cause we don't even have restaurants open and we're going to, you know, have kids eating in schools.
Yeah. I mean, it's a rough thing out there. But before we end, I got to make sure I get to it. Almost done.
I almost lost that question.
I'm trying to ask all of our correspondents, what during all of this has been a highlight for you and what has been a low light?
Okay. Well, my highlight is I've got a rescue puppy, and
awesome.
So nice. That has been really rewarding, and I got him because now I can spend time with him before I go to work. So he gets used to, you know, being at home, and it also gets me out and exercise, and I have to walk him 1 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, 6 o'clock in the morning.
They're but, really like yeah, little yeah, children,
yeah,
aren't they?
Say, yeah, it's like a little kid.
Yeah. If you want to have a baby, do a puppy first, because it's the same exact thing. I can't even go in the bathroom without him being at the door. So he's eight. He's old. He just wasn't ever trained. So yeah. We're working on all that. But the low light, I think, is, again, the classes. I was supposed to do so many community ed classes over the summer. You know, I lost a lot of income by not being able to do that. But as far as the Zoom, I want to tell you, I had an offer to do a wine tasting and pairing, I mean, a cooking class and a pairing, a wine pairing, that I'm going to try out, I think, in another week. Nate and I are going to do it, the gentleman I do the plant-based chat with, and we're going to try to do it. It's people in Florida want to do it.
Nice.
And we're going to go on. We're going to teach a cooking class. They're going to cook along, and then he's going to do the pairing, wine pairing. Then they're going to sit down and eat via Zoom because they miss getting together down there with their friends.
And these are the things that, I mean, it hasn't been that long, Don. It really hasn't.
No.
It's what, August, so March, five months.
Yeah.
Who would have thought 5 months ago this is what we'd be doing?
No.
Not my wildest dreams.
No, me neither. When I first started talking about it, it's no way they're going to go that far. No, no.
Yeah.
And it's like, wow. No St. Patrick's Day parade.
Nothing. I mean, it's
Mummers. They canceled the Mummers for this January.
I know.
New Year's Eve,
my low.
Everything.
That's my low.
I know. Don, you were reigning champion, weren't you? I think they did it because they thought he was going to win again.
Come back.
Christina. They're trying to hold him down from being champion. But
well, I want to say, Donato, I love your garden.
Thank you. You inspire me to do that garden too. By the way.
No, thanks.
Yeah. Seriously.
All that plant-based talk. What? I'm going to make them myself.
So you're going to have to come down and start picking some of the vegetables. I'm getting so many of them, I just can't eat them all.
Oh, look at that, Chef Christina. Look at that offer.
I know. I didn't get any zucchini at the shore this year. I'm dying for zucchini bread.
Oh.
Are you far away from here? I got three of them in my car.
Oh, he's got three in his car. Look at that. He's bartering. He just needs need a megaphone on your truck.
Right.
But Chef Christina, it's such a joy talking to you. We're glad that everything's going well for you and that the rescue puppy's a YouTube star now. Do you want to share anything before you go? Your Twitter chat handle? I'm not a big Twitter person or anything like that for your program.
Yeah, it's plant-based chat on Twitter. My Instagram is Chef Christina, and you can also find me on Facebook at Chef Christina.
Awesome.
Pretty easy.
Thank you so much, Chef Christina.
Thank you, guys.
Hey, Christina, good talking to you again.
All right, bye-bye.
See you soon. Bye.
That's amazing.
See that positive energy Chef Christina brought. She had you and I know this. I've seen the pictures, Don. I mean, this you're calling it a garden. I would practically call it a farm.
Yeah, well, it's a victory garden slash farm. The only thing I don't have is chickens and goats. And
why not?
We're not allowed to.
Really?
Yeah, that's one of the bylaws.
Oh, man. Yeah,
you're only allowed to grow. So that's what we do.
What would you say is growing the best?
Well, right now the tomatoes are starting to come in.
Okay.
Yeah, the zucchini's just about done.
But do you
cucumbers?
Do you have Jersey tomatoes in PA?
I don't know where the seeds. I think the seeds came from Italy. Does that count?
I don't think we can call them Jersey tomatoes from Italy, but I'm sure they're good. But I know somebody who would be happy that you got those seeds from Italy. And that's actor John DiRenzo, because he's got the Italian heritage as well.
He does. Lucky him.
Exactly.
We have the same hairline. We have the same hairline, too.
We do. We have the same hairline. We have the same accent. You know?
Yes.
What are you guys chatting about? I hear some cucumber seeds or something.
We were talking where Don is getting his tomato plants from. I was wondering if they were Jersey tomatoes, and he said, "Well, they might be, but the seeds came from Italy."
Well, you know about that whole Chinese seed thing. Don't plant any of those.
I heard about that in the mail. Right? Send me in the mail.
Yeah. Hey,
I don't know.
Yeah, who knows what you got? I'd be willing to see what grows. Who knows?
Hey, I'll be afraid.
Hey, maybe it's shrimp lo mein.
Hey, it's that money What's tree that? I've been long seeking. Yeah.
Good to be on air. It's good to hear your voice.
Oh, it's great. It's great to have you, buddy. Great to have you. It's been a long time.
Right.
You are in multiple industries that have been affected. I mean, to talk about the double whammo, the culinary industry with the hospitality industry, and also the entertainment industry has been taking a beating. I mean,
I got to tell you, man, my last on-air performance at QVC was March. The acting world has been shut down, as we all know, and they're trying to get back together and get things organized, but it's a slow start, and it doesn't look good for the foreseeable future. To be honest with you.
No, I mean,
it's
weird because I've even heard touring acts, and I'm going to mention his name and not saying that I'm a fan of his. It's just that I saw an article and heard about it. Jon Bon Jovi's management team, I believe I read an article, said they're not even thinking about touring until like 2023.
23? Oh, yeah. Live music's done. Live music, venues, and things like that, they're never going to be the same. You're never going to see concerts with thousands and thousands of people. We're not. It may be in 10, 15 years.
Yeah.
But because of liability.
Yes.
There's all liability issues. You know, it's crazy. The world has changed since we were last on episode 129.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I was just listening to it. Yeah. Things are different, you know?
I mean, it couldn't be, as we said, 5 months. It's sort of a 180 of what we were doing. And
not in a good direction either.
No. That's for certainly. But before I'm keeping with my pattern, I'm going to get it out there. But before we miss it, because I've been asking every guest this, and that was my mission before we started the show, was to ask two simple questions. During all of this, what has been a highlight of yours, and what has been a low light?
Well, a highlight is getting reacquainted with being home. And not having the rat race and just taking a step back and reevaluating career, life, grandson, future plans. And, you know, it really gave me a lot of time because I live a fast paced.
Oh, schedule. Yeah. I mean, did you get that call for a movie?
Oh, you were running all over the place.
The next day, it's an 18-hour day with a shoot.
you know, it's kind of nice in a way to have this little break. But what's bad about it is not knowing what's on the other end of the break.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. Like not knowing where we're going. Like we're all in the same boat. We're all bailing out. I'm handing you the bucket. Yeah. I get tired. I give you the bucket. You know, so it's not that. That's what makes this a little easier to swallow.
Yeah.
We're all in the boat.
Yeah.
You know, that's been my highlight, is really just taking some time and, you know, to regroup. You know, I'm getting back in business, getting back in the food industry, which is exciting. And I'm dipping my toe in. I'm waiting until we see what direction, you know, the country and the world's going in. But
and getting back, you know, into the food business, you have an announcement to make as well, correct?
Yeah. Well, I'm doing something a little different. It's a concept called a ghost kitchen. They're actually virtual restaurants. Some of you may have heard of them. Some of you may have not. What a ghost kitchen is, it's a small commercial kitchen. It's purposely built to produce food specifically for delivery, not even carry out. No customers visit the place. They're small kitchens, usually a couple hundred square feet. And out of that small kitchen, I can run multiple virtual brands under one roof. And they're all, I partner with the delivery partners, Uber Eats, Grubhub, DoorDash, there's Postmates, there's Eat24, Caviar. And, you know, it's a unique business concept that was just starting to really get some traction, and COVID just put it into, you know, the stratosphere.
Yeah, I mean, so, to me, what it seems like to me that this has turned into, it's sort of like in Singapore with those hawker stalls, the food markets.
Agreed.
Where you 100%. Walk in and you got a million different options, and now instead of walking in, you're just pointing and clicking.
Yeah. It's brought out to you.
And what's great about it is, you know, the menu items are optimized for low cost, ease of production, reliability of delivery. You know, but what's crazy is there's no marketing. You don't have to worry about any of that because the delivery partners do all that for you. The only place that your menu is seen is on their websites. It's crazy how it works. And they give you the analytics to say, okay, you know, they'll let me know, hey, wings are really busy between 9 and 11 on Friday, and pizza sells best after 5 on weeknights, things like that. So you can cater your menus and your virtual restaurants
and how about specials? Because I could see something if they're saying pizza selling Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then you would know, you guess what? Tuesdays and Wednesdays, I need to run a promotion for pizza.
Right.
That's great.
Well, no, what you do is on the days that you don't feel you need to sell pizza, you have one of your other brands up. See, I have 5 concepts. One's called Chicken Lickin', one's Jaw and Burger, one's Dorenzo's Pizza, one's Dizzo's, which will be sandwiches. And you don't need to have all of your menus up at all times.
Okay.
Mm. You know, each one will have the same beverages and dessert options, but you know, they're all a little different. To the customer, it looks like that this is a big brand.
Yeah.
You know, but really, you're sitting in a 200 square foot kitchen.
Yeah.
You know, it's crazy. You know, the company Cloud Kitchens, they just opened in Philadelphia. They have 2 locations, one near Temple, one near Drexel. There's 30 kitchens per location. So they have 30 kitchens in one roof.
Wow.
They're all 200 square foot.
Wow.
They help you with local licensing. They help you with everything. So you literally go in, you give them a 2-month deposit, and you're good to go. They take care of cleaning the kitchen at the end of the night, everything. Oh. So it's really a fantastic thing. So I don't know if I'm going with them or if I'm going to just do this on my own in my hometown, because unfortunately, there's a lot of small businesses that are doing well right now. There's a lot.
But they could use the extra kitchen work.
Well, what I'm saying is there's buildings available.
Okay.
So
okay.
I'm looking to maybe, you know, I'm weighing the option. Do I stay local and then I have to sign a lease on my own and
exactly.
yada yada. I'm looking for something that doesn't tie me in because of my acting career.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. It's the darned if you do, darned if you don't.
Flexible.
Yeah, yeah, but
I got to be flexible, and it kind of works for me. So you know, I'm making this happen.
That's
great.
I've
been putting it together for some time, and. You know, if you follow me on Facebook, you see all my logos and stuff. And I was producing all those because I wanted to be ahead of the game.
Yeah.
I wanted to have logos and concepts and food ready.
That's
awesome.
And
that's where I'm at. I'm ready to pull the trigger on it. And you're going to see this popping up all over the country because restaurants like Bertucci's, they're doing it. They're running a whole different they have Wing Street.
Yeah.
You order wings, you go to Grubhub, you see Wing Street, you order it, that comes out of Bertucci's kitchen.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be a whole different future
like
we've never imagined. Yeah. But we're happy to hear that you're doing well. I love this concept.
Yep. Yeah, it's a great
Keep
concept.
Keep us updated. Share your social medias or anything like that so everyone else can stay tuned.
You can find me at John Dorenzo on all social media and johndorenzo.net.
Awesome. Well, John, it was great talking to you, and we look forward to hearing all the updates you got going on. Great, great having you.
Love you guys. Yeah,
you too, John. Take care.
I'll talk to you, John. But yeah, I mean, that's the thing, Don. I mean, I think we're going to see a lot more virtual things.
Yeah, and it's going to be all mostly takeout. You call, you get delivery.
Yeah,
you don't have to go nowhere.
The thing that he's saying is, I have a feeling that these ghost kitchens will grow because of the aspect of privacy.
Yep.
You have a group of employees who have already been pre-screened.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not worried about, it's like he said, if you have 30 kitchens, you know that whatever you're making that day, it's going to be made, whether it's in kitchen one or kitchen five.
Yeah.
So I do think that these virtual kitchens and these ghost kitchens will be the future. But I'm going to tell you something else, Don, that someone, one of our people that have been with us since the second episode of Small Bites, and I couldn't be more thrilled to finally have him join us. We've had 130 shows, and we've always had a fantastic joke from him to end our shows. And I know that I've seen you sitting there laughing many, 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 many shows at the end of the show, just waiting to hear what he has to say. But Jackie, the joke man, Martlin, graces our presence. It's great to have you on, Jackie.
So a guy knocks on his neighbor's door and the neighbor answers. He says to him, he says, "Hey, I haven't seen your wife since the COVID hit." And he says, "Oh, she's out in the garden." He says, "Well, I was out there. I didn't see her." He says, "Well, you got to dig down a little."
Jackie, that's why we love you. Oh,
that's great, Jackie. That's great.
But it's kind of sad, but what are you going to do?
Exactly. Yeah. And possibly true as well in many cases. Because Lord knows the quarantine hasn't been easy for many married couples.
No, it hasn't.
No.
But as with everyone, it's a whole different world out there, and you more than most understand the challenges being in the entertainment industry. You thrive on large crowds going
well,
in.
I'll tell you what, I did a bunch of the Zoom things. And they don't work unless it's five or six people because everybody's so interested. And then all of a sudden, you know, that you want their microphones on so you can hear the laughter. And then all of a sudden somebody's ordering a pizza or somebody's dog is barking. So that just doesn't work, you know.
Yeah.
But I do a lot of podcasts and I call into a lot of shows. But I do this thing called Cameo.com. Now, I know it'll be a plug, but this is exactly what I'm doing. It's cameo.com/Jackie Martling, and people pay money, and I call up and say, "Hey, Harry, happy birthday, and here's, I know you love Italian jokes, I know you love Jewish jokes, I know you love poop jokes, you know, or happy divorce, or how you doing, Pop, long time, you know, people, Father's Day, I got a zillion of them." And believe it or not, it's almost like methadone for me. It's just enough. You know, I do two or three minutes worth of jokes three or four times a day. And I get my yayas telling them, you know, and I get all five-star reviews because it was, you know,
But the best part of this is, correct me if I'm wrong, with the Cameo, you're actually sending these individuals a video. It's not a recorded voice.
No, it's a video, and I'm laughing at myself because I don't know how not to. And they're repeatable jokes, and you have them forever. And I tell people, if you want to steal some jokes, go to cameo.com/Jackie Martling. They've got 6 or 8. Examples of my latest ones, and every one's got 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 jokes on them. You can get a month's worth of jokes just going there for free, just checking it out, you know. So,
it's
fun.
And I think that's similar to what we were just talking to actor John DiRenzo. He was with QVC up until March. He presented the air fryer products, yeah. copper
kettle,
everything. So he was on QVC probably 4 to 5 times a week. And he's moving into something that's all virtual and what they're calling ghost kitchens. Do you think that the comic industry will become more personalized and more virtual?
I have no way of knowing. There's never going to be a substitute for people sitting shoulder to shoulder laughing. And that's got to come back. If it doesn't come back in a week, it might be a month, it might be a year, but it's not going anywhere. It will be back. The time being, I'm not sure. The beautiful thing about my act is I can do my act in an elevator. I'm going to tell the jokes and I'm going to laugh and people love them and they can pass them around and everybody laughs. But it really is challenging. People that do actual routines where they want to know, if somebody does a 5-minute bit, they want to know where the laughs are and where the biggest laughs are. And, it's impossible.
Yeah.
So that's why I told those guys they're all idiots. They should be telling jokes like me. If they had a brain, they'd be telling jokes,
Now,
that's what's fun.
One of the things that I've always thought in my mind, because my mind is always going, and I don't know why it goes in the direction of always wondering what other people should be doing instead of myself. But one of the things that I've always thought for you, and I don't know why I've never texted it to you just to say, hey, Jackie, why don't you do this, is gifts. I think you would be great at gifts, on the cell phones and the memes, because you're so quick-witted to see something and to say a joke to it.
I'm not hearing what the first word you're saying. Are you saying, GIFs?
GIFs.
GIF?
Yes.
GIFs.
Yes.
Yeah, GIFs.
Well, that's basically what these cameos are. You know what I did? I sent out a few of them. You know what? It's almost like it's too easy. One day I got the bright idea. I was in a port-a-san. You know what I'm talking about? A port-a-potty? And I stood there and spun around in circles as I videotaped myself with the iPhone telling a dirty joke. And it was just, Jackie live from the port-a-san, and people went wild. And I only did like 2 of them. I never did it again. I should have done it as a series because it's so unmistakable where you are.
Yeah.
And it's just enough echo and nobody can smell it.
I hope it's a new one.
When I come out, I come out of it and there's like a line of 7 people waiting to use the port-a-san. I'm like, sorry, I was doing my act.
But I mean, and you were taking care of business, literally.
Absolutely. I haven't shrunk to doing it while I'm actually on the bowl. I don't know. I've actually done phone calls where, you're talking to somebody and all of a sudden they say, what's that noise? So what?
Exactly. If you're not having fun, what's the point of living? But I've asked everyone else this, and as I mentioned to Hell's Kitchen Chef Barbie Marshall and all of our correspondents, one thing I wanted to do on this program with all of our guests was, during this pandemic, there's a lot that's gone on for a lot of different people in their lives. What has been a highlight for you since this has started, and what has been a low light?
Well, the highlight for me, I have a beautiful girlfriend, Barbara Klein, and one day she said to me, I'm going to make English muffins. And I said, yeah, right. And I'm going to go build a car. You know what I mean? And I went out and I came back. She made homemade English muffins.
Ooh,
and they are so good. Ooh. And we made a little video of her making them. I'm gonna send it to you. It's a series of like 2 little two little emails on Dropbox, but I'll send it. But they are so good, and it's so easy. And I don't know if you could post it online or something, but it's so funny. But that, you know, that was an absolute highlight. I mean, the low light of this whole thing, you know, is losing people, obviously.
Yeah.
You know, and things getting canceled that, you know, I mean, and there's no specific one. Just things getting canceled that you can't believe, you know, like funerals and stuff like that. I mean, there's no,
yeah.
The bottom end is too brutal.
Yeah, I mean, there's, you know, just, I mean? There's,
and
just
I,
no
tell
going
you,
back.
I suffer from survivor's guilt because we're here. I live on the water. I swim 3 or 4 times a day. We eat like kings. My girlfriend's a great cook. You know, we don't go anywhere, but we didn't go that many places anyway. And, you know, but meanwhile, the world is crumbling around us, which is just crazy.
Yeah.
You know,
and
I tell everybody they should have known what a conniver Trump was the day in junior high when he bowled 305.
But
how's that? I wrote that joke yesterday.
I love it. I like it. That's a good one. But a lot of people may ask themselves, what the heck is Jackie the Joke Man doing on Small Bites? One thing that a lot of people don't know about you is you are truly a foodie at heart. And I think that's one of the things that me and you have been able to bond over. We've been out to dinner a few times.
Know, years ago, I used to freak my friends out, you know, because I used to make chicken Kiev, and I used to make chicken cacciatore, and I used to make, you know, it's so funny. I did a cooking show with my friend Larry Izzo, who does a comics cooking with laughter or something like that. And he came over to my house, and I made
was that the one that you made the steak? Russian?
No. This was what's the Russian meal with the I made beef stroganoff.
Okay.
And I did it live for his show, and I made it, and it was great. And we're sitting around, we're just starting to eat, and I'm like, Jesus Christ, I forgot the sour cream, which is the whole meal. You know, it's just beef stew without the sour cream, and I completely but of course this is all on tape, so it was just absolutely hysterical.
Yeah, I mean, and that's one of the things that I think me and you bonded over is your love for food, and also who doesn't love a good joke? And I remember the time. Unfortunately, the pandemic has sort of shut them down now, but M Restaurant, when you were in Philadelphia the one time, me and you ate there. They're out of business now. And for anyone who doesn't know what M Restaurant was, it was sort of like American food, new wave, molecular food, where they're bringing all the crazy things out from test tubes. And I remember the waiter brought out something and had bubbles on it. And Jackie tells the waiter, he goes, "What's this? It looks like the dishwasher just swiped the bubbles off of his sponge, and you brought the plate out for me."
What can you do? What can you do? You gotta give him a hard time, you know.
But that's a side of you that I think a lot of your fans don't know. They all know that you are.
I don't know if you know. I don't know how much we discussed it. Years ago, I wanted to do a cooking show. I'd always been saying since the 70s I wanted to do a cooking show. And my idea to do a cooking show was a suburban barbecue show. Not anything fancy like Julia Child, but just the right way to make a steak, the right way to make shrimp cocktail sauce, the right way to make a hamburger and a hot dog, and the right way to make clam sauce. And I had always talked about this, and I had the bright idea. I had a big fat comedian friend who died, and I was going to have the Weber Grill have, like, eyes on it and talk to me, but I was the only one that was going to be—it was going to be his voice, and I was going to be the only one that could hear him, like the old Topper. You know what Topper was the only one that could hear the ghosts? Mm-hmm. And I wanted to do this show, and I had a great name for the show, and I got drunk one time out in L.A. and told this producer about it. And a year later, I went over to my friend's house, and any time I saw cameras, I'd say, oh, you know, whenever I see cameras, I think about, God, I'd really like to do a suburban cooking show. And the guy says, well, somebody beat you to it. And I said, what are you talking about? They said, well, there's this guy, Bobby Flay, who's doing a show over in Brookville. He's doing like a suburban, you know, grill show and a cooking show. And I said, oh, damn. And then a week later, I get a phone call from the guy that I had had drinks with in L.A. and got dead drunk and went to Compton and chased hookers and everything. He calls me up and he says, hey, Jackie, I'm producing Bobby Flay's cooking show, and we want you to be on it. So me and Nancy went over, and I don't know if you remember, in the beginning when the Food Network started, it was just like a lot of the cable channels. They had so little programming that they played the same things over and over. So they must have played my Bobby Flay cooking show 100 times, and every time they played it, they'd call up the Stern Show and say, hey, Howard, Jackie's on Bobby Flay's show telling his stupid jokes again. But the kicker to the whole thing was when I originally had the idea, I had a great name for my show. And when I got drunk with this guy in L.A., I told him the name of my cooking show, my suburban cooking show. And I go over to do Flay's show, and after the show, I'm sitting there, and he says, I got to give you a copy of my book. And I opened the book, and the name of his production company, for either for that show or for that book or whatever, was the name of my show that I had told the guy a year before.
No.
Now, it's a very simple pun, so it's very possible. You know, just like two people could have written something in the way she moves. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
There's no pretend. But the name of the show was Boy Meets Grill.
Which is just brilliant.
And to this day, I'll never know. That might have been this guy Wayne's entree to Bobby Flay, or they might have thought of it a year before me.
Exactly.
Who knows? Yeah. But it's such. And then Flay became a monster, huge star. You know.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the thing. You just never. It's the chicken and the egg. Which came first? What came first?
So fun.
Jackie, I don't want you to hang up, but we're going to wrap things up, and I want you to end the show with our joke of the week. But just stay there. Don't leave because we're running out of time. Don, that was great.
That was an unbelievable show.
It was an unbelievable show. Had a lot of time. Taylor, thank you for everything, sir. Wonderful having you engineer and produce for us again. And we loved having all of our correspondents and show production staff on. Chef Barbie Marshall, check her out on Hell's Kitchen All-Stars, Tuesdays on Fox. Author John Howard Fusco, pick up his book on Amazon, History of Cape May. Chef Christina Martin, check out her brand new released show called Plant Based, and actor John Dorenzo from QVC. Check out all of his latest things and gigs and whatever he's doing at johndorenzo.net. But we end the show, Don, like we always do, with a joke of the week from the legendary joke teller, Jackie the Joke Man Marlin.
All right, so go to cameo.com/Jackie Marlin and send one of those things. That's the least you can do. So a cab driver picks up a nun, and he looks in the rearview mirror and says, you know, sister, I always fantasize about being with a nun. She says, yeah, you and everybody else. Are you Catholic? He says, yup. She says, pull over. And he pulls over, and she gets in the front seat, slides over, and gives him a big, disgusting, sloppy, wet French kiss. And he pushes her away and says, sister, I got to tell you something. I'm not really Catholic. And she says, yeah, my name's Ralph. I'm going to a costume party. All right. I do jokes every day at 4:20 at Jackie Martling. Follow me on Twitter. Get a cameo.com. Congratulations. Welcome back, you guys.
Thank you, sir. Great having you. We're Small Bites on Wildfire Radio. Have a great night, everybody.